Back in session. Next item on the agenda, EBFM committee report. Chairman Papalatto.
Thank you, Dr. Chairman. I'd like to thank you for not putting us at the dead end of the three-day council meeting. Appreciate that. Today, the ecosystem committee is bringing forward to the council for its consideration the materials that we reviewed in June. There's been some additions for your review. I'll note, is it tab two is EBFM. The committee has met twice remotely back in July and again this in September as well. And the PDT has continued to work on the tangible work example demonstration tools. We'll get into that later today. We also are going to review, see a review from Greenfin Studios, some of the materials. Mr. Chairman, it's the committee's hope, and we're bringing forward a motion later today that the council take in this presentation and look at all the materials that are in your binder. The motion I'll bring forward is for the council to adopt these materials as a foundation for the basis of future outreach workshops, which we've talked about in the past, and we'll revisit that again at the end of the presentations. Of course, those materials as amended by the council's discussion today. So with that, I will turn it over to Andy for a primer that he's put together for the council to refresh their memory on where we are in the process and also for the benefit of our new council members.
Great, thank you very much. The floor is yours, Mr. Applegate.
Okay, next slide, Sherry. All right, thank you very much. It's been a bit of time since the council has seen some of our material, and some may not have been following as closely as some others. We also have a few new council members, all of which could benefit from a little background of where we're at. And I'm only going to spend about 10 minutes or less on this presentation, and then we'll launch into some of the other presentations that might take about 15 or 20 minutes each, presenting the material that's been developed. Kind of informally, we put together a five-phase plan for developing EBFM, focusing on Georges Bank, but it could end up being somewhat of a model for other areas as we pursue this kind of approach. The council started out this process several years ago, looking at how EBFM was developing in other regions of this country by other councils, and also in some other countries as well. We've had a pretty extensive review process, and then we had some options on how to develop EBFM. And so that launched into the rest of the work, including phase two, developing an example fishery ecosystem plan, which is on our page. Phase three includes both public outreach workshops and our next part of management strategy evaluation. Phase four would be something that most of you are now familiar with in detail, preparing a plan with alternatives to submit to the Secretary of Commerce. And then phase five is the plan submittal, implementing regulations and adjust as necessary with further amendments or framework adjustments. And part of that phase five is also possibly reevaluating at various points our approach to EBFM. Next slide, please. So I'll go into a little bit of detail on each one of these. The concept of developing an example fishery ecosystem plan was approved by council in 2015. The council chose a holistic approach, comprehensive approach, rather than some of the approaches we've taken with other things like some type of policy overlay or an omnibus amendment. Next slide, please. So the at the time, the council provided some guidance as to its approach, that the we should develop some goals and objectives and approaches in this example fishery ecosystem plan, and that that plan should be based upon fundamental properties of the ecosystem. We wanted to focus debate on these things, but allow us some latitude to develop things that might not be at face value comply exactly with the law. We wanted to see where the problems were, if there were any, to follow this kind of approach. Next slide, please. So we recognize that it's a fundamentally different approach relative to other councils have taken, including the Mid-Atlantic. We wanted this approach to be place-based management, focused on trophic guilds as a recognizing the energy flow in the system. And we wanted this plan to recognize and address the implications of both biological and technical interactions with mixed species fisheries. Next slide, please. Phase 2A was working on the example fisher ecosystem plan. Part of that included a peer review work example. It was requested by the council in September 2016. It was conducted as an independent peer review by the Center for Independent Experts. We had a review workshop in Woods Hole, and those results were presented by Dr. Lisa Kerr to the council in September 2018. Next slide, please. Phase two, B, the other portion of this, was developing the ecosystem, the example fishery ecosystem plan. Mostly work between the PDT and the committee. There was quite a bit of back and forth and discussion about it. It was intended to outline a framework for how fisheries could be managed with EBFM. It was not meant to specify exact details or specific methods, but outline what's possible. It was meant to lay out concepts and describe the framework for fitting them all together. I think the EFEP document has done a very good job at doing that, but that also makes it a very comprehensive document and a little bit difficult to get into and understand all the nuances within it. That example fisher ecosystem plan was presented in its final draft form at the September 2019 meeting. The council approved of it for use going forward and initiated a what we then called a management strategy evaluation steering committee, because we thought that the management strategy evaluation, or MSE, would be our next step. That committee was expected to provide advice on phase three, and did so in January 2020. Next slide, please. So part of that advice was, what are we expected to get out of? Well, first the committee said, you're not ready to do the MSE. You need to engage stakeholders in this and have some dialogue with them to build some understanding of ecosystem-based fishery management as a tool to assess and manage fisheries. The committee objectives for the recommended workshops is also identify potential opportunities and concerns by different stakeholders, and also give the opportunity for stakeholders to help us define next steps and identify those that were and build a willingness to communicate and continue participation in this process. Next slide, please. Part of that steering committee recommendation was also to hire a science communicator to use the materials in the EFEP document and other documents and in the work example to develop communication tools for use in these workshops. They probably won't be the only presentations used, but they will be a primary focus of it. And today's meeting is to go through many of those tools that have been developed in nearly complete form now with the council for review. We also were asked to develop tangible work examples better than in the peer review, which was highly technical, to demonstrate the concepts of a work example. And we've worked with the PDT since early this spring to develop some tools to demonstrate some of those concepts, and I will present some of those today. The final step of this phase 3A would be the public outreach workshops, which would be scheduled after this meeting. Our next step would be to start hiring, identifying and hiring facilitators, and to begin scheduling workshops. Due to a number of things, including some needed work on the whiting specifications and the work involved to set these up and get people to lined up to make presentations at the workshops, it's probably going to start occurring early next year, would be the earliest that could happen. Next slide, please. The second part of phase three would be a management strategy evaluation itself. We don't really need to get into that too much today, but I want to make sure we see where we're going on the horizon. And ultimately, as we have engaged stakeholders, we'd like to engage them through a management strategy evaluation where we would identify and develop objectives, identify how we measure our performance against those objectives, identify potential management procedures or harvest control rules, which are limits on mortality at different levels of biomass is typically how they are developed, focusing on the ways that the EFEP has outlined how we might do this using stock complexes, and then finally evaluate the relative performance of various management procedures against what I call a simulated system with known characteristics against those stated objectives. How well do they achieve them? And you'll see some of that in one of the tangible work examples that I will present today. Part of that process is also scientific, developing what we call an operating model of a simulated system that we know what the characteristics are, and we can evaluate different harvest control rules equally using that system. And part of it is also developing, applying a multi-species assessment model within that. Next slide, please. Finally, the last two phases are typically what the council does, develop a fishery ecosystem plan, or possibly, depending on how things go going forward, we could still take a more incremental approach, applying what we've learned in this process to existing plants. Part of that process is also to develop a fishery ecosystem plan using the management strategy evaluation management procedures that seem the most viable. To develop alternatives, we analyze effects, conduct public hearings, and typically we submit a plan and implement regulations. I think that's the end of my presentation. So I'll take any questions, but if there are none, I will turn the presentation over to Dave Jasinski, who's with us today, who I've been working closely with from Greenfin Studio. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Applegate. Any questions from the council members first? I see none. We'll go out to the audience. Any questions from the audience? Seeing none, back to the council. Right, turn it back over to Chairman Popolato for purpose of introduction.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next, we're going to have a receive a presentation from Team Jasinski and Greenfin Studios. They've been putting together some of the what I call collateral or descriptive materials that we hope to bring forward to generate conversation and response from the community when we head into our workshop phase.
Hello, my name is Dave Jasinski. Good afternoon, everybody. So I'm going to sort of go over the materials that have been developed to date. Some of this will be a review. You may have seen some of this stuff before. And then there's a whole suite of new items that we've developed. So, next slide, please. So basically, just as a 50,000 foot view, tasks completed to date. We've done stakeholder interviews, contacted 154 individuals, did 59 interviews, purpose of which is to identify barriers and benefits of EBFM as perceived by the folks that we interviewed. We've developed two infographics, three presentations, and five brochures. Tasks that are currently in progress are one presentation that we've already submitted in draft format this week, and an information video, and I'll review that in a little bit as well. Next slide, please. So as far as the stakeholder interviews, as part of the whole process, we looked at the entire suite of individuals involved in New England fishing, the New England fishing community, and sort of subdivided into 11 different groups. These groups are represented here. The numbers in each one of these circles represent how many folks that we interviewed from each category. And a lot of this came down to willingness to talk to us, and just number of people that we had available to actually reach out to and see if they were interested in being interviewed. Next slide, please. Some of the common themes from these interviews, and these are sort of grouped here, hard for many folks to understand the various aspects of EBFM and how it would impact their work, competition among fishermen, permit structures, jurisdictional issues, Magnuson Stevens Act. One of the things that came out is stakeholders were very interested in collaborating on management decisions. And wanted to make sure that their voice was heard. There was obvious questions about choke species. Across the spectrum, and this is interesting, and this is also interesting, the fact that this is kind of what we're doing, is that folks wanted a playbook. They wanted an easy to understand guide to EBFM. Hopefully with a lot of the materials we've developed, we're moving in that direction. There was a lot of interest in data. And how that data will be collected and what will be used to actually implement EBFM. And then there were also lots of questions about climate change and how will that be factored in the whole process. Next slide, please. Moving on to the presentations that we've done. So introduction to EBFM was the first, a presentation on catch ceilings and how they are determined. A presentation on the science that goes into supporting EBFM. So those have already been submitted and finalized, but I do think we need to revisit some of those. It's been interesting as we've developed the various communication products associated with EBFM, and as work has continued on things like the work example and things have gone out for review, it's our message has evolved a little bit in terms of how we communicate things. So I think we need to revisit some of these presentations to make sure that the things that we developed at the beginning of this summer, the messages are consistent with what we've developed at the end of the summer. Not that there's been any huge deviation, but just in terms of wording and phrases and things like that. Next slide. One of the things that we developed or were tasked to develop were these infographics. Looking at them, many people would actually may call them fact sheets in terms of the way they're laid out. Although we were tasked with doing infographics, very early on, we determined that there's just so much information involved in many of these topics that it can't easily or efficiently be explained in a straightforward single page infographic. So we sort of evolved that sort of definition into something that's a more panel based, that sort of leads people through a particular topic. In this case, and this is labeled incorrectly, I apologize for that. This is not the Georges Bank EPU one. This is actually one that's based broader on the concept of ecosystem-based fisheries management. So what it does is it defines EBFM and why it is being explored. It explains the main components of EBFM. It provides some potential benefits and recognized challenges to implementing EBFM, a timeline for the process as well. Some of the things to do is, again, review for consistency with later products. And then in each one of our products, we have this sort of more information section, where to lead people to. The idea being that all these work together as a suite of materials, hopefully hosted on the New England Fisheries Management Council website. And so we could actually put actual links to those pages. And other products within the suite of materials in this more information section on all of these products. So that all, when all said and done, is when everything is finalized, that will probably be one of the last steps as far as just tying everything up. Next slide, please. So this is the one that's actually based or devoted to the Georges Bank EPU, obviously a central component of the EFEP itself. So this is more or less just a primer on Georges Bank. And we get into things like defining the boundaries of the EPU and why it was chosen for the EFEP, some management considerations in terms of possibly subsections of the EPU itself. We get into jurisdictional issues and possible management options for considering those issues. We go through an example of what the SOC complex lists look like, breaking down well-known Georges Bank species by gear type, whether or not they are a target species of that particular gear type, just to give an idea of how these stock complexes might be determined. We show some maps as far as where you might potentially find some of these stock complexes on Georges Bank. And then we get into a little bit of the physical, chemical, and biological characteristics of Georges Bank through a series of maps as well. And again, on this one, when all is said and done, we'll finalize the more information section on this. Next slide, please. So the brochures, which has occupied a significant part of this summer, five brochures have been developed. First of which was a glossary of EBFM and general and fisheries management terms and phrases, an introduction to the EBFM process brochure. And this is actually three brochures. It just has three different versions geared towards sort of groupings of the stakeholder groups that we mentioned earlier, and I'll cover those in a minute. And then finally, the last one that we've completed is a reader's guide to the EFEP itself. Next slide, please. So the glossary, basically it's highly visual. It's meant to be sort of a resource for people to turn to when going through some of the other, either the materials that we've developed or getting into the more complex documents that have been distributed, sort of a resource for as a definite, provide definitions for a lot of the terms that are used. So six pages with 44 terms and phrases. It's intended for use by a broad audience, and as opposed to just having a list of definitions, we thought we'd make it a bit more engaging and make it highly visual as well. Next slide, please. So the brochures, the three brochures about the EBFM process, it's basically written as an invitation to participate in the process. And this is sort of getting at that MSC part of things in terms of we really want to invite people to express their, ask questions, express their opinions and concerns about things, inviting them to have their voices heard. So the three different versions are geared towards fishermen, seafood dealers, and processors, commercial pelagic fishermen, and recreational anglers, And the third group is conservation NGOs and the public in general. The differences come down to more or less, I mean, there's some there's differences throughout all across all three in various sections, but the major differences in each one are come down to the largest section of each, which is the sort of what does it mean for me section, as far as, and that's referring to what does EBFM mean for me, and that gets into potential benefits and concerns, as well as introducing the stakeholder that's reading this document to the other stakeholder groups. That are, you know, sort of in this whole consideration, and I can explain that in a little bit. Next slide, please. So this is that section, and this would be for the commercial fishermen, seafood dealers and processors brochure, and this is just sort of to illustrate what we mean by that what does it mean for you section. You know, so you have, and this is broken down in subsections on potential stakeholder benefits and stakeholder concerns, and each one is sort of listed out. And these are not obviously meant, this is not meant to be the, these are the only benefits and these are the only concerns, but these are the ones that kept coming up in conversations in the interviews and things like that. And so we try to address these directly in this document. And then that, as far as who are the other stakeholders, we came up with sort of this Venn diagram up in the upper right-hand corner, where each stakeholder group is listed along with pluses and question marks indicating their potential benefits and their concerns about EBFM. And the idea behind this is to show that many of, you know, these various groups, they have overlapping concerns and overlapping potential benefits, and it's basically to show that there's this community of interest around the concept of EBFM. Next slide, please. And then this last brochure, the guide, reader's guide to the EFEP. This is another six-page document, and this is meant to sort of be the reader's digest version, if you will, of the EFEP. It's meant to sort of break down the important concepts that are described in the EFEP, which is more than 100 pages, and get it down to, you know, bringing out the salient points, but also including page numbers, referencing back to the sections of the EFEP where people can go to get more in-depth information about each topic. And topics we cover are, why was the EFEP developed, the goals and objectives of the EFEP, the boundaries of the EPU, Georgia's Bank EPU, harvest management, sort of how it all comes together. So how are catch ceilings set, special priority management areas, incentive-based measures, fishing impacts and spatial management, jurisdictional limited access issues. We get into data, which is a big expressed concern by folks. And then we get into the description of the management strategy evaluation process. Next slide, please. The video, that's been a tough one given the current considerations are, as initially proposed, we were going to conduct a lot of one-on-one interviews with some of the stakeholders, capture things that way. You know, obviously face-to-face was the plan, and intersperse that with a lot of sort of what you call B-roll footage, really showing the aspects of the New England fishery. That sort of came to a grinding halt in the spring in terms of what we could potentially do. So we settled on doing the interviews over Zoom, for better or for worse. But we were able to send our videographer to New Bedford for a day and a half, where he captured a lot of B-roll footage using both handheld camera and drone. These screen grabs right here are from what has been taken to date. We are currently in the process of editing the hours of interviews that we did, and we've got that edited down to basically the salient points from each one, and that's still at 34 minutes. Our goal is a 5-minute video, so we still have a bit more work to do, but hopefully over the next week or so, we'll get that captured, and I imagine within the next 2 weeks, we'll have a draft video for review for folks. Next slide, please. And so presentation 4, which is the one that was just submitted this week, it's an introduction to the EFEP. It draws heavily upon the reader's guide to the EFEP, which I just previewed a few slides ago. And it also provides a sort of a walkthrough of the work example. So that, like I said, is up for review. And hope to get some comments back on that, as well as some input on some areas that we need a little assistance with, and should have that hopefully wrapped up within this week or so. And I believe that's my last slide.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jasinski. Appreciate the presentation. And I want to thank you that this attempt to simplify some of these concepts and ideas and get the layperson to understand with the appendix and the whole host of other things. I think it's certainly a step in the right direction for a lot of people. So I want to thank you on behalf of the council.
It's been a fun project to work on, that's for sure.
Good. With that, I'm going to open up to some questions from the council. Mr. Reed.
Yeah, sorry, Dr. Chair, I couldn't get my phone unmuted. So when do you think you're going to have it edited down from 30-something minutes to a handful of minutes? I know that's going to be a giant project, but what's the timeline for that?
Like I said, hopefully within the week, actually. So we've got it basically, we pulled out from all the sort of hours that we had, we've pulled that down into, we've edited together an actual video, a 34-minute video, if you will, that we're then going to go through and pull out the salient points from that. Understanding that some people are repeating things that other people have said and that type of thing. I honestly, hopefully that will not take that long. And once we have that, then we can start interspersing some of this B-roll footage to actually make the whole thing a bit more engaging than a bunch of talking heads. We kind of want to avoid that. And so, like I said, we have that B-roll footage from New Bedford. We've got some B-roll footage from NOAA, and some other folks have generously provided some footage as well. So hopefully we'll be able to make it pretty engaging. But within the next 2 weeks, I'm thinking we'll have a rough cut video for folks to review.
Okay, thanks a lot. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Mr. Bellavance.
Yes, sir.
I thought you had a question. Sorry about that.
Nope, not right now. Thank you.
Mr. Alexander.
Well, I don't have a question, but I kind of wanted to comment, if that's okay, John.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. So I sat on this committee for 2 years, and you know, I said in June when we saw this, I said something. You know, it has to be simple. When we go out to the public, it needs to be simple. You know, somebody like me who sat on that committee for a couple of years always wanted to know, you know, what's this going to end up doing to our quota and stuff. You know what I mean? As a fishing person. So I think you're going to get a lot of those questions. So I think you guys should be prepared to answer those questions, you know, when you do your outreach and stuff.
All right, Mr. Balzano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm on the lines with what Mr. Alexander just said. What is this going to do with how our fisheries of today function?
You care to respond to that statement? Okay. Ms. Griffin.
I don't have my hand up, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, I was going to respond to the statements by Mr. Alexander and okay. I think Mr. Reed, if you'd like me to.
That'd be great. Yeah, I just was, I had a pause there. I didn't hear anybody responding, but fire away, Andy.
Yeah, that kind of request, I mean, we recognize that as an issue, but it's really a very specific answer that people are looking for. And at this time, we're not at that point of answering a specific question like that. How is it going to affect my quota? We could answer questions like how might it be structured, but the values that would be developed in management strategy evaluation would result from what are we trying to achieve by EBFM? What are our objectives? What kinds of management procedures best achieve those objectives? And when we start answering those questions and evaluating different approaches, that's when we'll be able to answer a specific question like that. So at this stage, we're outlining a framework of how things could work and fit together, and we've described it in a more comprehensive document like the EFEP, as well as in a more simplified form, a more accessible form in these public outreach materials. And what I will present next are some tools to help people perhaps understand some of the concepts and how they could be applied or how they affect decisions made, but we're nowhere near at the point of saying that the quota is going to be 1,200 metric tons.
Great, thank you very much. Go to the audience to see if there's any questions. Oh, got a few more hands up. Okay, I'll stay here. Dr. Sissonwine, and then Rick Bellavance, then Mr. Salerno.
Yes, if I could follow up a little bit on this discussion about what is it really going to mean to the fishing industry. And Andy Applegate is absolutely correct that it wouldn't be possible or appropriate to comment on, you know, what it's going to mean to your haddock quota or whatever. In fact, I don't think we could even comment on whether the actual sum of the quotas is going to go up or down, although there has been some discussion of that. But I do think there are some general characteristics that this approach is intended to achieve that are going to be very important to the stakeholders, including the fishing industry. And just a couple of them would be that I would expect the system that emerges, if it's successful, to be less complex. That is, we're going to actually be setting less annual specifications. And a second important characteristic is, if successful, it should also be more stable. So while Andy is absolutely correct, we can't say what's going to happen to your particular quota. I do think there are some positive characteristics or characteristics that most stakeholders will find to be positive that one is shooting to achieve through this approach. Thank you.
Andy, you wish to respond to that?
I agree with Dr. Sissonwine.
Okay. All right, Mr. Salerno.
Thank you, Dr. Chair. Andy, I guess my question is actually, I think I want to reframe the question that Mr. Alexander put on the table and Mr. Balzano, and I may be getting at what they were really going for. If not, I still have this question anyway, is how do you see the current groundfish management system, which is the groundfish catch share program, fitting into this? I mean, do you still see the catch share program working under the EBFM program?
Yes, thank you for that question. There is a discussion in the EFEP document about working with existing programs, including the catch share program. It's not something that came up a lot during the stakeholder interviews. It was kind of surprising. So it wasn't captured a lot in the brochures. If that's an important thing that, you know, maybe we need to bring that out. I do anticipate that we'll need to work out some of the transition details like that, including the existing permit structure, jurisdictional issues, management by the Mid-Atlantic Council, ASMFC, and so on, as well as how this can work together with the Catch Share program and how it might be different. Briefly, you could look at the system as a bit similar to the Eastern Georgia's Bank area, where there's a specific allocation that the existing catch shares work with that is spatially oriented. So I think there's an analogy there that can work with the catch share system. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy.
Mr. Belavance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have a question, but I just had a general comment that I just wanted to bring up. And it's in regards to the outreach materials. With the fact that the council chose Georgia's Bank to use as their ecological production unit, there's more of a commercial focus to that area. But I do think it's important that as we develop these tools, like we're doing, that we continue to include the recreational fishery as stakeholders and develop communication tools to help inform them as well. Because if this catches on and we decide to move on to a different EPU like the Gulf of Maine or Southern New England, there may be more relativity to the recreational fishery there. So I just want to make that point, and I'm happy that we're including the recreational fishery now.
Great, thank you. Mr. Nice.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When we decided to create some of these documents, one of the goals we were looking for was visually rich things. And I'm looking at some of these documents, and they seem very text heavy, which gives me a little bit of concern. The draft guide to the EFP, for example, I think is 7 or 8 pages long. It's heavy on text, heavy on descriptive text. Did that concern the committee at all? We're trying to reach a broad audience, and I'm not entirely convinced people are going to sit and wade through an eight-page document that is full of some pretty technical issues.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I take a stab at that, and Andy can follow up. Thank you. Thank you, Tom. We did talk about that, I think, across 3 different meetings. I think at the end of the day, as you said, this is a pretty technical, there's some technical issues here or technical terms and concepts that are different and new, and using a picture book approach to introduce those proved to be very difficult. So I do agree that there's a lot of words there, but I think that what Greenfin was able to do was to break up those words into digestible chunks, if you will. But if you or others have specific techniques or ways and to achieve that and reduce the word count, I think we'd be very interested in that.
Dr. McKenzie, I saw your hand up. I don't know if you took it down or.
I did. I just wanted to reiterate, I was going to make the same points that John said, that we have talked about this. This is a concern that the committee has wrestled with. But I think, as Mike Sissonwine said, this stuff is complicated, and it's going to take us time to winnow this down. And I think where we are now is a huge step forward from where we've been, but we've got more work to do, but I we're working on it. So that's all.
Mr. Alexander, then Mr. Hughes.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I totally get that needs a lot of explanation, but I think Tom made a good point. I mean, people, you're going to come in to look at this and they're going to be like, holy crap, this seems a little complex for me. And this is somebody who has talked about this a lot, you know, it still fairly blows my mind at times. So just, you know, we should definitely bear that in mind. And you know, you guys that live and eat this stuff are different than the average person walking into the room and wanting to know what it's about. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to point that out.
If I can add to this, Mr. Chair?
Dr. Absolutely.
Yep. So I think this discussion underscores the importance of the workshops and having a lot of opportunity for dialogue and an open dialogue about the concepts. So, and gradual understanding by people involved. And it may take, probably take a good bit of effort to do that and several attempts at it to bring people on board and start understanding the concept and maybe, okay, now this doesn't sound so bad. The concepts, the overlying concepts are kind of simple. You know, I can get on board with this and let's see how it works out. That's all we're looking for in these workshops, I think, and maybe identify what's important to people that they want to get out of a better form of management. So while the products are a bit text heavy, there's a lot behind it. I think it will be necessary to share that information during the workshops and have discussions about so people can ask questions and think about it. Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Hughes. Mr. Hughes?
Hey, there we go. Can you hear me, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I didn't realize I had my hand up, but since you've called on me, I have been thinking about something, and it has to do with the cold pool. And I just wonder if there's been any discussion or acknowledgement about the interactions of the cold pool that shifts between the New England region in the fall and winter months and then migrates down into the Mid-Atlantic region during the springtime and summer months.
Dr. Chair, you want me to respond to that?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not specifically addressed in the EFEP document, but only in terms of changes in the environment and warming water temperatures and their effects on productivity, how it might translate into changes in composition of stock complexes, but the overall stock complex productivity would be more stable than the individual components. But it is an important issue that should be brought up during workshops, so it's recognized as something that we need to take into account and address. While I've got the floor on this, one of the things that you haven't seen yet, because it's still being worked on, is the introductory video. And the intention of that is to be visually rich and more conversational in nature. I think it's going to be a very good starting point for some of these workshops. We intend on playing the video for people that participate in the workshops and get the dialogue going, because that's what it'll do. They'll say, I don't agree with so-and-so, but I have these other concerns. And that's all good. That's what we want people to do. So while some of the documents are a little bit text heavy, some others such as the infographics and the video are more visually oriented. And so I think as a package, it'll do a pretty good job. Thank you.
All right. I'll go out to the audience. Any questions from the audience? Back to the council.
Mr. Chair, we've got several in the audience.
Yeah, I didn't reload it. Yeah, Mr. LaPointe, Mr. O'Neill, and Mr. Cliver. Mr. LaPointe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. George LaPointe with the Fishery Survival Fund. It's not a question so much as a comment just on how this process is working. So do you want me to wait till later or jump in now?
No, I think now I should probably more loosely questions or comments because we might have a couple of questions or comments now.
Great. Thank you very much. Again, George LaPointe with the Fisheries Survival Fund. And the EBFM committee and PDT has done a ton of work. And I agree that you can only make this so simple. I see a couple of issues moving forward, and I've expressed these before. One is it's going to be hard with the relative loose nature of what we're moving ahead with. You know, we have an EFEP that has concepts that we want to discuss and how it might work, but we don't know yet. It's going to be hard to get people to take time to attend the workshops. I've already had industry members who say, we're going to send you and we're not going because it seems too loose at this point. So I think that's something people need to pay attention to. And then when you get people's attention, it will be when you get to the stage that Terry talked about. What happens to my quota? I said this to Dave Jasinski. If you have 150,000 pounds of quota, is it going to go up or down? And you may not be ready to make that statement. And as Mike Sissonwein said, it may be hard to do, but that is going to be when people really engage. It's kind of esoteric at this point for most people. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. If anybody cares to respond to that or hearing none, Mr. O'Neill. Okay, Andy, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I do agree with Mr. LaPointe about this issue. If he has some suggestions to get people enthused about it, like offering cookies and coffee or something, I'd say that in jest, but I'm open to their suggestions. Thank you.
Mr. O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Dr. Chair. I just had a comment, really. I got the solicitation email from Greenfin Studios for the asking me if I wanted to be on video talking about EBFM. Now, unfortunately, I haven't paid enough attention yet to EBFM, and I'm hoping to shift my focus to it a little bit more now. But I don't know if the council has seen how that letter or how that email reads, but in my opinion, when I was looking at it, I decided not to respond to it. And I'm open to being involved in a lot of things. I already am. But I really, the way it was worded, kind of, it put me off. The way the questions were asked, the video, the fact that I was going to be on video put me off. So I don't know if that's going to in any way skew who got involved in the videos. So I just wanted to highlight it as something that just as a stakeholder that is involved already in a lot of things, the way that it came, the way that it read to me and the way that it came across, because I'm not well enough informed yet about EBFM to go on video talking about it. And I think that might be something that a lot of people would think when they read this.
Anybody wish to respond to that? But I think that's very helpful, Mr. O'Neill.
Dr. Chair, yes, we did review the email before it went out. And in fact, Janice and the executive director were involved in that. So being on video, I'm sure, is a gives people some anxiety. Maybe it's more than that, but if there's something more of that Mr. O'Neill wants to share with me, I'm open to any advice he might give. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Mr. Cliver.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Chair. Zach Cliver with Bar Harbor Whale Watch Company and Blue Planet Strategies. And I have worked for 30 years guiding whale watching trips out of Bar Harbor, Maine, and have taken hundreds of thousands of people on the ocean and educated them about the marine environment, the wildlife, but also the fisheries. And I feel that the public have a very good capacity for understanding some of these issues and are very interested in the science and the idea of ecology. I did read and review the brochures, and I was very pleased with them. As a science communicator, I think that we could err on the wrong side of this and not give people enough information to understand it. I didn't find any of the wording verbose or full of jargon, scientific jargon. I thought it was a very good and very well put together, and was just the right amount of information for me to understand some of the complexity and some of the issues. And so I did appreciate the effort that went into it. And I do believe that the ecosystem management is worth our time and our effort. I think it's about hope. We hope that we have an abundance of life and fish in the oceans, and it's tough under the complexity of the ocean environment with all the changes happening in the ocean to manage it well. If this gives us another layer that helps us do better at managing these resources and making better decisions, allowing you, all of you, to make the good decisions that take care of this environment and this resource and manage it well, I think that's the hope that a lot of us in the public have for this, and we support it tremendously. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If anybody wishes to respond to that. Seeing none, we'll come back to the council. Any follow-ups from any council members? Seeing none, back to Chairman Papalatto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, so we're gonna move into a tangible work example presentation from Andy.
Okay, thank you very much. This is the other portion of materials that we've been working on for public outreach workshops. Worked heavily with the plan development team to develop these tools to understand concepts behind EBFM. I still think it's a bit of a work in progress, but I think the tools that we have can be used. Some people are going to need some hand-holding to do it, to get into some of the details. That's the point of actually one of the proposed workshops that we'll get into when we talk about workshop format. Next slide, please. So, we started out this process early last spring. I think there was a joint meeting of the committee and the plan development team on March 31st. We had quite a bit of formal dialogue back and forth prior to that meeting. And we started out with a good bit of people talking past one another. Committees wanting something, the PDT not quite understanding what they wanted or not really understanding what the problem was with the existing work example, and somewheres in between you find me. But after that meeting, I think the PDT understood some of the issues better and undertook the task of developing some tools that are intended to help people understand the concepts better. And also it was important to provide some contrast between the EBFM approach outlined in the example fisher ecosystem plan, and we often call that ceilings and floors approach. The ceilings are limits on the amount of removals, the floors are limits on lower limits on biomass when something happens to help the system restore itself. Overall, we thought the PDT thought an approach starting simple and adding more complexity as needed to demonstrate the concept was very important, rather than get into a lot of details about with a lot of species and a lot of concepts all thrown together. And eventually we would move towards a little more complexity in these tools as people work through them and start asking questions about them. And I can see that this is a continuing process culminating in management strategy evaluation, where there's a formal evaluation process applying different types of management strategies to achieve desirable objectives. Next slide, please. Part of the EFEP talks about the catch framework, that not just catch, but also possible effort control, where there's a development of aggregate catch advice for stock complexes. We identify what those groups are. There's some initial recommendations in the EFEP about those, and as outlined in general form by the outreach materials that you were presented with. And then floors, the concept is to apply some kind of floor for either individual species, or I'll add to stock complexes. I'll show that in one of the tools. So all the tools are intended to demonstrate this overall outline concept that's in the EFEP document. Next slide, please. The outreach materials show the same kind of diagram in a different way, but it's essentially the same material where there are various stock complexes represented by the smaller circles and the adding up to a limit on removals from the system. We call an ecosystem catch cap. It's noted in this kind of diagram that there are individual thresholds for floors. We had a difficult way of trying to show that visually here in this graphic. So the graphic would get kind of complex doing that. But this is in the outreach materials. So next slide, please. So the PDT worked on three types of tools to help demonstrate the concept. The first I'm going to talk about is a web-based demonstration. I could call it something more technical, but it's basically a model that runs on the web that groups four hypothetical stocks in the two stock complexes. So it shows that concept. It is interactive. The catch advice coming out of it is an estimate of, is based upon the fraction of the FMSY that the user sets, which is either defined by stock complexes or by single stocks. It does not include any biological interactions, however. It's just simply applying an MSY concept to either individual stocks or stock complexes. Now, the latter kind of implicitly means that there's some kind of interaction between the stocks that are grouped in the stock complex. But that's about as far as explicitly it goes to incorporate biological interactions, but it's something that could be added to the model with time as another level of complexity, but it will allow people to play with that and think about it a little bit. It does apply example harvest control rules using this concept of floors and ceilings, and I will talk about that in a minute. A second tool we call a Kraken visualization tool. The model is called Kraken. It's a executable program. It's something that we could, and actually have made available interactively. It is an executable program. You have to download it, install it, and run it on your computer. I think it only runs on Windows or in a Windows emulator. It does include biological interactions amongst the 10 stocks. They're not definitive. They're roughly representative of the stocks in there. There are some 10 specific stocks, mostly ground fish stocks are included in the model. However, it doesn't have a specific harvest control rule. There are effort sliders that you control how much effort is applied to each stock complex. And then based upon what scenario you choose, whether it's no predation, whether it is predation, or whether it's both predation and competition, you can get a feel for what the effects could be when you affect the effort on one stock complex and what effects it might have on other stocks and stock complexes. The third thing that was developed by the PDT was a more accessible version of the Hydra model, which was presented to the CIE review panel and the results presented to the council in September 2018. I don't think that there's been substantial improvement in the model since then, except to apply some specific scenarios that we asked for. It does group 10 stocks into stock complexes. They're roughly the same stocks as in the Kraken model, but not exactly. It is a multi-fleet model, which effort is adjusted by a harvest control rule applied to fleets. That harvest control rule is effort-based. It does take a lot to run, however. It is a simulated system, runs simulations. Is therefore not interactive and it takes a while to run. I think when it ran for the CIE review, each run with multiple interactions, I think they whittled it down to about 30 minutes. But there is a document, it's about 20 pages. It is still, in my view, still heavy on words and jargon. So maybe working with Greenfin Studio on this fourth presentation, we can boil this down to something that is more accessible and easier to understand. And part of that fourth presentation would be kind of an introduction to these three tools to help people understand the concepts behind the EBFM. When we deploy them, I plan to try and deploy them through a common place. By the nature of the differences in what they are, I can't make them exactly the same or use exactly the same species or the same kind of simulation, but I can make them available through a consistent interface. Next slide, please. So the catch advice demonstration I think I ran through these. It produces a time series of plots. It gives tabular results. There's an overview tab that describes what the model does, how it works, what it's intended to do, and how to use it, which is part of the document that was distributed, part of the binder materials, which just made that information available with the document rather than within the program itself. There's also a video companion video demo of it. However, at least right now, is only in video form. There is no audio track for it, and I haven't had Dr. Fay develop this. Thank him very much for that work. I think it's very good work, and hopefully I can get an audio track to go with this or develop one. Next slide, please. So this is a view of that Catch Advice demo. On the left, there's a panel that you can adjust choices of what's shown, including the types of output, how to show the data, whether to set an ecosystem catch ceiling, whether to apply the assessment either as a single species or as a stock complex. There's a slider for setting a maximum fishing mortality rate as a percentage of FMSY. So if you set that level at 1, the maximum fishing mortality rate is equal to the calculated FMSY. If you set it to less than that, then it's a fraction of FMSY. There's also a slider that when you choose to set a biomass floor for individual stocks, you can choose what level to set that at and either apply it as an average. When you apply it to a stock complex, you have a choice whether to set that floor either as a minimum status for each stock or to set the floor based upon whether the outcome is the average of the two stocks in the stock complex. So moving to the right a little bit on the same slide here, it shows four stocks labeled 1 through 4. Stocks 1 through 4 are grouped in the stock complex 1, and stocks 2 and 3 are grouped into stock complex 2. The red bars represent the minimum biomass level for a stock or individual stock. So you see that in this 30-year time series for stocks 1 and 4, both stocks at the last year of the time series are above the floor. So in this case, the outcome of Catch Advice, which is eventually shown in the table below, is not affected by the setting of the biomass floor. With stocks 2 and 3, let me see, with that floor level chosen, I think both stocks in this case are also slightly above the floor. You can raise that floor a little bit and you will see some differences in the table below. There's also ceilings. So with stock complexes, there are ceilings applied, shown with the dashed blue lines for the individual complexes. There's also in this particular view, where you set catch ceiling for the stock complex, there's also a blue bar for that too, and it's close to it. So if you change the fishing mortality levels in the slider, it says target F or FMSY, eventually that limit on ecosystem removals comes into play. The results are given in the table below. And in this view, it shows the outcome for two stock complexes. When you switch to single species assessments type, another table comes up with the four individual stocks. And it gives the values of FMSY and BMSY from the assessment that's applied, the proportion of F over FMSY, which is determined by the slider, and the catch relative to FMSY is given. Eventually applies to the FUs, which means what F to apply. And you see in the stock complex one, it is 0.11 versus FMSY 0.15, which is equivalent because to the stock, the fishing mortality slider set at 75% of FMSY. Similarly, you get similar values, 75% of 0.14 for stock complex two. It results in a catch. If the ceiling is above the, below the sum of the catch levels labeled CFUs, the catch advice on the right, the far right of the table is reduced. If it is below the catch ceiling for the ecosystem, that advice is lowered. Next slide, please. Let me go back one slide. So to really understand this, it takes a bit of playing around with it, essentially. Play around with the sliders, what they set, to really get a grasp of what's going on. I think the video with some instruction will help viewers and people that want to open this up and run it and play with it to see what it means. It's not going to tell you what your quota is going to be next year or the following year. This model is just an example assessment. How does the system work and how it could be applied to on the basis of a stock complex. The outcome is really only 1 year. It's not a forecast. It's basically a 1 year forecast. And applying a harvest control rule, which the user sets to evaluate how that affects the catch advice. So next slide, please. And then we can probably go back to the individual parts if people have questions. So a Kraken visualization tool was an existing model that was presented to the CIE review panel. What's been added to this is a more accessible four-page plain language manual about what this tool does, what it doesn't do. It doesn't give catch advice it'll give some catch outcomes, but it really shows how biomass changes when you change effort. It describes how to use and install it, types of output and its interpretation. And it really has three example scenarios. Example one is no predation, no competition, which is analogous to how we do single species assessment now, at least in some cases. Some cases we do single species assessment and evaluate the effects of predation, which is a second scenario that the user can select. And the third scenario that the user can select include both predation and competition. There are other kinds of scenarios that can be developed, but we think that these are the most helpful to understand the types of biological interactions and how they might occur. What happens here is the user adjusts the fishing effort on stock complexes. There are 10 stocks and 4 stock complexes. Next slide, please. Let me go ahead one slide and then come back to this one, if I may. So this is kind of the user interface, which shows some outcomes. And so there are some, up in the upper left-hand corner is various types of output, including the estimate, a simulation of uncertainty, and more of the type of Kobe plots that you see on for stock, for individual stocks and stocks together grouped in stock complexes. The controls are that the user have are on the left, which are sliders that scale effort associated with a stock complex. And in this case, I'm displaying here, you see that I've adjusted the effort or increased the effort for bottom fish, benthivores, which are winter flounder, haddock, and yellowtail flounder. And you see the changes, which the last outcome is the line, and the gradual change of that is where it came from. You see a decrease in biomass of haddock and winter flounder, and increase in yellowtail flounder, and that is related to the positive effects that is included in this demonstration model between haddock and yellowtail flounder. It also affects the piscivores, generally increasing those biomass due to both, I guess, mostly some predation effect. There's mostly competition effect with monkfish, silver hake, and Atlantic cod. But it takes some, you know, moving the different scales and applying the different scenarios to get a grasp for various outcomes and how it, I think most people think of this as, oh, this makes common sense, but actually how it actually plays out is actually pretty complex. This is something that we was written in C. We can't change the program to, as I wish, to make some of the buttons larger. I think they were designed for a VGA display, and you put them on the newer displays and it doesn't work very well. But that's not something that we can change very quickly. Go back one slide, please. So this same kind of plot shows the interaction terms between species in a more complex fashion. There are series of arc plots that show that there are uncertainty plots, and there are also four plain biomass plots by stock complex that there are different ways of showing the effects that the users causes by choosing one of the scenarios or adjusting the effort sliders. Two slides ahead, please. And then finally, the more accessible version of the Hydra operating model describes that type of model. It applies three fleets that the effort is controlled by a harvest control rule by fleet. There are three stock complexes of 10 Georges Bank stocks, which are included in this model. Next slide, please. Diagrammically, this is, you know, you have a web of interactions with estimated life history parameters, and you have a biomass-based general harvest control rule, which has a ceiling on removals for stock complexes, and a floor, which I don't think is shown well in this particular plot, when you reduce effort either by stock complex or for individual stocks by applying the harvest control rule, which would be intended to achieve desirable objectives. Next slide, please. Various scenarios, there are four scenarios that were developed. One was applying different levels of fixed exploitation rates to stock complexes. A second scenario which applies a system-wide harvest control rule with biomass floors for stocks, which are set at 20% of unfished biomass. And certainly when we get into management strategy evaluation, we'd want to evaluate what floors are most effective at producing sustainable yield. A third scenario adds variable exploitation rates and stock complex biomass floors. For stock complex biomass floors and what's described, it was set at 40% of the unfished biomass for a stock complex. And the fourth is putting it all together with some variation for certain species, in this case, the elasmobranch or sharks and skates stock complex that is different for a biomass floor than for other stocks. I think that's my last slide, is it not, Sherry? Oh yeah, there's a couple more. There's output in terms of time series at different exploitation levels. In this case, for individual stocks, they are stacked on top of one another. You see a time series of about 50 years, how that plays out. Next slide, please. And then it also produces what we call radar plots or spider plots. And I think that each vector here is an objective, and the various outcomes of models are shown by the irregular lines. The ones that produce well across all of the objectives are further out on this range. The ones that produce perform poorly are closer to the center. And also, this is something that we'll bring out when we get into talking about management strategy evaluation as part of one of the modules. It's discussed somewhat within this document. I think that is my last slide, is it not, Sherry? Yeah. So thank you very much for the opportunity to present this to you. I also want to thank many hardworking PDT members who helped put this together for the committee and the council. And I'll be open to questions and comments and your thoughts on it. Thank you.